Tonight's stories are yet another chip away at our fragile sense of security. When you think about it, it's fascinating that somehow we convince ourselves that a mere thin pane of glass can protect us from the horrors that await us outside. I personally love the view and the light that shines in through my window as I work each day, but this is a reminder that through which the light can pass, so can the darkness enter. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This is a true story, and it happened when I was about 5 or 6. When I was younger, my parents were always cops. About this time, however, my mother was a paralegal. That's just under an attorney, but they piss people off just as much. And my father was a police officer. I have a hard time remembering how long this took place. Being a child, it felt a lot longer than it actually was. We believe the man followed us home from the grocery store, but Mom truly believes she had to have pissed him off in some way in her profession. She had no idea who the man was and does not remember ever seeing or talking to him. We lived 45 minutes to an hour away from town on a lake, so finding our house could have never been a coincidence. Now, how my house was set up, we had a driveway getting to our garage the back way, and we had a driveway getting to our house the front way. In order to get back to the front without going through the garage was to go around the entire yard on one side, or to go through the snake-infested weeds on the other, if that makes sense. The front driveway had a door to the garage to get into the main door, or my sliding glass door to my bedroom. From my bedroom was a door to the living room. That's important for later. The quote-unquote back way had a door that came off into a large porch, and the driveway connected to my aunt's driveway a few hundred yards. We walked to her house to play with my cousins every day. So all this began with me sleeping in my room and slight tapping on my sliding glass door. The tapping grew louder until I woke up. I'm already a light sleeper, and being about 5 or 6, I was already paranoid about monsters and ghosts. I woke up to a man, seemingly large man, standing at my sliding glass door, tapping and looking in. I screamed. My parents came in and he was gone. This started happening every single night. It ended up turning into a daytime ritual as well. He had to have had a police scanner and knew when my dad was at work. No one had actually seen him to make a description, and I remember the police department was at our house every single night. Response time wasn't good, obviously, but down the road was my dad's cop buddy, Fred. And I'm pretty sure my uncle was either a cop or a jailer at the time, and again, their house was connected to ours by a driveway. And let me tell you, my uncle is a big mofo. He could easily pass as a member to a biker gang. He wasn't as big back then, but he was still extremely intimidating. I can't give you the events in chronological order, as they are all jumbled. But I remember my mother waking up to tapping on her window. This was odd because there was an entire shed-type area under her bedroom. It was at least 2 stories off the ground. He managed to climb up our tree and jump onto her AC unit that was in the window and watch her from it. I don't know what happened after that specific incident. Either right before this or right after this, my mom was in the post office grabbing our mail. A random man approached her and said, "Do you know who I am?" She was confused. It had to have been before the major stuff started happening because my mom is incredibly intelligent and she would have easily put 2 and 2 together. She looked at him briefly and said, "No, should I?" She went to turn around and leave and he said, "You will. You shouldn't have represented my wife." And by the time she turned around to get a good look at the man or ask him what he meant, he was gone. She was shaken. I'm not sure what activity specifically took place after this point, or maybe a few days later. I'm working strictly off my memory and my mom's. It's been 20 years, so some things are easily forgotten. I do know that there had been a time when he was at the front door and Mom snuck us up to my aunt's through the back door. He thought we were still inside, and if he hadn't, he wouldn't have caught up to us before we made it to my aunt's house because of the layout of our house. I was terrified, though, so scared he was going to jump out of the trees and kill us. A couple of nights later, maybe, we drove my dad to work, and once we got there, my dad climbed in the very back and laid down. Fred ended up dispatching with my dad's number and signing in as my dad. Dispatch was in on the plan, and everyone knew he had a police scanner. Nothing eventful happened until late that night. My cousin Danielle spent the night with me. I was no longer allowed to sleep in my room. I had to sleep in the living room. Now, the door to my room was open, the sliding glass door locked up, obviously. There was a small walkway we made between our wraparound couch and our wall, but once you enter that door, you were in the living room. So, anyways, we were watching Annabelle's Wish, and sometime we fell asleep. I woke up to the tapping and frantically woke up Danny. We peeked over the back of the couch, and sure as shit, there he was. It looked like he was tapping on the glass with a rifle, but at this point I was young and didn't get a good look, so it could have been a chunky stick. We panicked and speed crawled to my dad's room. We didn't want him to know that we saw him because we wanted my dad to catch him. Dad jumped out of bed in his boxer briefs, threw on his vest, and grabbed his gun. My mom signaled for my uncle and Fred. They were here in a matter of seconds. I don't know how she did that because up there, none of us had cell reception. So maybe house phone? We could see Fred, Dad, and my uncle frantically looking for him. My mom spotted him standing by the tree, and my uncle was only a few feet from him. He saw my uncle, but my uncle didn't see him. My mom tried signaling my uncle, but by the time he saw my mom, the man ran for the boat dock. After this night, it all just stopped. He disappeared and we never saw him, to our knowledge, again. I don't know if my mom would have recognized him or not if we passed him in the store. It's a very unsettling thought. So to the guy who briefly haunted my childhood, let's never meet again. This story doesn't involve me directly, but I was there when everything went down. This happened about a year ago. I used to spend every day at my best friend's apartment building, which was kind of a weird setup. When you walk into the apartment from the hallway, there's a living room kitchen area, and then you walk down a hallway where all the rooms were lined up next to each other. She lived in a big apartment building where each unit was set up similarly and shared a balcony with the apartment next door. Both units have a glass door that leads onto the balcony. Due to the layout, in order for each bedroom to have a window, there's an empty space the width of the balcony between the two neighboring units that share it. This also means that your bedroom window directly looks into your neighbor's bedroom window from about 15 feet away. Now that that's out of the way, the story. My friend and I were in the living room watching a movie on a Saturday night when one of her roommates scurried into the living room looking terrified and exclaimed, "There's a man staring at me from the window next door." She explained that all the lights in the apartment have been off all weekend, so she had assumed all the girls next door had gone home for the weekend. It was a set of college apartments in a dangerous neighborhood. She had the blinds cracked open and was laying on her bed when she saw movement from the dark room next door. She looked over and there was a pair of eyes staring at her from the dark. At first, she thought she was nuts, but a minute later saw a large, dark arm press up against the glass and eyes emerged again. The lights were already off in the living room, and we all crouched down and gathered around the glass back door to watch the windows of the apartment next door to see if anyone was inside. Sure enough, after a minute through the blinds, we saw someone moving around and flicking lights on and off. This made us nervous because he could easily walk out onto the back porch, and then the only thing standing between him and us would be a glass door. We were all freaked out, but reasoned that maybe one of the girls had given her boyfriend a key card and he was the one inside. On the other hand, the apartments were super easy to break into. You swipe a card down the lock and you're in. There were about 50 units in the building, and there was a huge problem with robberies. The next day, I was over again, and we heard the girls come home. We went out onto the back porch and knocked on their door. When we told them what happened, their faces went pale as they explained that nobody was home and nobody should have been inside the apartment. After informing the building manager of what happened, they all gathered their belongings and went somewhere else for the night. Unfortunately, the building manager didn't give a shit or do anything about it, but a few months later, everyone moved out. Nobody knew who he was or how he got into the building in the first place, since there's a security guard sitting at a desk by the front door. So, creepy dude who broke into the apartment next door and stared through the window. Let's not meet. Just a few nights ago, I had my own weird encounter. I'm a 23-year-old woman, and for reference, the neighborhood my boyfriend lives in isn't the best. Known for regular police lights and sirens, pedophiles living across the street, a gunshot in the middle of the afternoon, and a plethora of other nuisances. My boyfriend and I were coming home closer to 11:30 p.m. on a Saturday night. We had spent the evening chaperoning his sister's 13th birthday party. I'd had a few alcoholic drinks throughout the evening to keep myself sane through the screaming teens, but by no means was I drunk, just a little buzzed. We pulled up to his house and I was carrying leftover cake, pizza, cookies, and a bag of a few more treats, so my boyfriend ran up to the house a few minutes before me to get the door unlocked. He opened the door and went inside to let the dogs out, and I meandered behind him a few moments later. Once inside, I set everything down and locked the door handle. My boyfriend wasn't in sight, so I thought he was either in the backyard with the dogs or in the bathroom, but didn't think much of it. Our blinds are always pulled up a bit when we're not home because the bigger dog destroys them if they're closed all the way. From where I was standing in the living room, I heard a commotion from the backyard. The dogs were barking at something, but there's always stray cats running around, so it didn't come off as unusual to me. So there I was, just standing in the living room maybe 10 minutes after coming inside. I'm returning a text when I hear a tap-tap that sounded too familiarly like a finger tapping on a window. I look around the house at first, thinking I'll see my boyfriend just doing something that made that noise, and then I remember the blinds to the window are up about 4 to 5 inches. Instinctively, I bend down to look out the sliver of the window into mostly darkness, except for the burning embers of someone smoking. My boyfriend's roommate often has trouble with his keys, sometimes comes home drunk, and he smokes, so I automatically thought he must need help with the door. And like that, I went to the front door and unlocked it. On the other side of the screen door, I peered out, and once my eyes got adjusted to the contrasting darkness from the ceiling light versus the moonlight, it hit me. The man standing in front of the house was not the roommate. It was this scrawny white male with long hair and stringy facial hair and I think glasses. But in the dark it was hard to tell any further distinguishable features. All I could think was, why the fuck did I open the door? Immediately I spat, "Who the fuck are you?" And he replied in this dry, almost whisper, "Is your mom home?" As this was my boyfriend's house, where only he and his male housemate lived, I instantly got chills up my spine. I realized he must have watched me come inside. Maybe he came up just in time so he never saw my boyfriend in the car or in the house, so he thought I was alone. Then I think about the tapping on the window, the dogs barking aggressively from the yard, and how long I stood in front of the window, which translates into how long he was watching me. I just about yelled, "Nobody's fucking mom lives here," when my big dog came running up behind me inside the house, barking as ferociously again. Finally, my boyfriend, who had been in the bathroom and just let the dogs in, tuned in that something was off. He came up behind me in the screen door, and as soon as the man noticed him, he said, "I must have the wrong house." My boyfriend followed with a quick and loud, "Yeah. You have the wrong house. Get the fuck off my yard, bud." The man took a couple of steps back but turned his attention back to me. He just kind of lingered, not really walking away and not getting closer, but still looking at me. Finally, my boyfriend followed up with another, "Get the fuck out of here." And after that, he turned and walked down the driveway. My boyfriend grabbed the wooden beating stick he has behind the door and walked out to the driveway to watch and make sure he really was gone. I frantically checked the locks on all the windows and the back door as disgusting and terrifying images of what his intentions were played in my head. I know all of the things I did wrong. My dad was a cop and trained me to be hyper-aware of my surroundings. I'm a true crime fan and I listen to podcasts like My Favorite Murder who talk about all the stupid things you shouldn't do. And I preach to all my friends about carrying weapons, not being afraid to slam the door in people's faces, or not even answer if it's dark. I know that there's an incredibly high chance that he thought I was much younger than I am, since I do still look young. That he was watching and hoping that I was alone. That getting me to open the door and tell him I was by myself was all he needed to rush the door, force his way in, and then do whatever he planned to do. I should have slammed the door. I should not have ever opened it. But I froze. I'm just grateful I wasn't alone. That my dog and my boyfriend were there to scare him off. And that we're moving very soon. This happened in 2011 to 2012. My boyfriend at the time, John, and I were 19 and we had just moved in together. Both away from home for the first time. We were ecstatic. We picked our first floor two-bedroom apartment so we'd have space for a roommate in a large complex near our college, thinking it would be perfect for us. Spoiler alert, it ended up being a total dump. The first couple of months were idyllic. We felt safe enough in the area to go on nightly bike rides to get snacks. And then we started having problems. First, our crappy little car was broken into. The window was smashed and the GPS, affectionately named Dottie, was stolen. We reported it to the police and informed our apartment complex. The landlord's response was a compassionate, "That's not our fault." A couple of weeks later, we were laying in bed when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow dart past the window. Our bed was right underneath it. I jumped up and looked at the closed blinds only to be greeted by the crouching silhouette of what looked like a man in baggy clothing and a beanie. He appeared to be trying to listen for any movement, possibly trying to see through any crack in the blinds. I was too terrified to look out the blinds, but John did and told me he couldn't get a good look at him. Our presence didn't seem to deter the figure at all. We called the cops and waited. The guy finally took off after 15 minutes of just crouching at our window. An officer arrived an hour after we called and said he'd do a sweep of the area, but he'd already been gone for about 45 minutes by then. This guy, well, I assume it was the same one, showed up a few times a week for months. No matter the temperature, no matter the weather. We called the cops each time, but to no avail. We actually started to get used to him looking in, and after a long period of no escalation, got complacent and began to wonder if he was just a peeping Tom, or eavesdropping Tom, of some sort rather than someone casing the joint as we initially assumed. It was always the same thing. He would show up, and we would see his silhouette crouch outside our window for about 15 minutes until he left. The worst part was that I could never see his face or anything. He was too well covered and it was too dark. Essentially, we were being haunted by this creepy, faceless, crouching shadow. We finally bought thick curtains for the bedroom so he couldn't see in anymore. Not sure why that particularly bright idea took so long to appear in our heads, but I'm pretty sure we'd both be the dumb people in a horror movie. I think half the reason we bought the curtains was because we didn't want to see him anymore. Out of sight, out of mind, and all that. And there seemed to be no other choice but ignorance with how unhelpful and unconcerned the cops had been. And indeed, with curtains permanently drawn, we stopped thinking about him for a little bit. John's younger sister was living with us by that time. She was very much a capable woman, so we weren't too worried about leaving her alone while we went on a short vacation. She had never complained about the creeper, though she was aware of him, and he didn't seem to stop by her window. Neither her room nor the living rooms had the same thick curtains as the bedroom. We had our vacation, and when we came back, the first thing she said to us was, "So, your friend stopped by." Our eyes grew wide. "The creeper?" She nodded and went on to explain that she was in the living room playing video games in the dark when he walked up to the living room window with blinds drawn, put a flashlight against the window, and began knocking on it. Knocking. She had screamed, ran to the bathroom, locked herself in, and called 911. But it was the same story. The cops took forever to show up, and by the time they did, again, the creeper was long gone. This set something off in John. Now the creeper seemed to be escalating, and the jerk was fucking with his little sister. I'm positive if she'd called him when this was going down, we would have headed straight back to the apartment during our vacation. Which is probably why she didn't. She was considerate like that. He told me he was going to take care of it himself. I begged him not to. At the same time, I also kind of understood where he was coming from. My fear was not knowing whether the guy had a gun or not, but I gave up arguing. So we kept the curtains open that night and waited for the creeper to show up. Around 1 a.m., he finally did. John grabbed a bat and walked calmly out of the apartment. I hid in the bedroom closet, phone already dialed to 911, terrified of what I was about to hear go down. What I did hear was John giving off a terrifying, guttural scream somewhere near the back corner of the building, followed by the shadow of the guy outside the thin bedroom window standing up, stumbling, falling back, then standing up again and running off. I heard the footsteps of John go charging past the thin bedroom window as he continued uttering that freaky scream. When John came back inside unscathed, the mixture of relief and hilarity of his terrifying howl led us to both laughing until our stomachs hurt. It was kind of awesome to realize what a wimp the guy who had been scaring us for months turned out to be once confronted. And that was it. We even kept the curtains open to see if he'd come back, but that was the last time we saw the creeper. And I hope to never officially meet him. Incidentally, our apartment was burglarized not too long after, along with a neighbor's on the same day. But we couldn't confirm it had anything to do with this guy. Seems obvious, although isn't that an awfully long time to be casing the apartment of three poor college students? But the police were entirely unconcerned, even bored by the whole thing. There were cameras in the hallway, but the complex told us, of course, they weren't working that day. We moved out a couple of months before our lease was up because we couldn't stand that place anymore. I'd like to sincerely thank you for listening, and I'd also like to thank our wonderful story contributors who make this possible. Sure, these stories are scary and entertaining, but they did actually happen to someone. This is a reminder not to be paranoid, but to keep aware, to trust your gut, and stay safe. Until next week.